always a huge point for me.
And I was very confused the other day when I met someone. And they were like, no, this is what I want. And I was like, hold on, what? No, we're not communicating correctly. Not at all. Anyway,
Kim or Suzanne?
Well, you know, as someone who's a little bit newly single, I think last time we spoke, I told you I was going through a conscious uncoupling. And at that time, I was still really deeply grieving the end of a relationship. And a lot's happened since we last visited. I'm re-entered dating myself. So it's, now I'm in a position to not only sort of talk about it and teach about it and coach about it, but to do it. So it's a real test, right? And I didn't find that I felt any sort of negativity or fear or worry about how it would go. I just knew I wasn't ready. And you don't know when you're going to be ready until you know you're ready. And it's not like there's any, you know, best practices. Like when you get to this many months or you hit this mile marker, you should be ready. Everyone's going to be on their own timeline. So if you're feeling fearful or frustrated or anticipating that only bad things are going to happen, then maybe listen to that and you can ascertain that you're not ready. When you start to feel hopeful and excited and like you're looking forward to it and optimistic that there will be great people to meet and they'll have something to offer and you'll have something to offer them, then you're ready.
Oh, so I'm still not ready.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Sorry.
That's okay.
You're on California time. We get that.
Yeah, ha ha.
Not to mention, it's probably pretty and nice and warm. Anyway, Kim, is there anything that you wanted to say on that question?
I just have to tell you, those girls gave some great advice to your listeners. And anybody that's a great, you know, I gave amazing advice. The best advice I can give you is just from my own experiences is when I dated and I was in a bad, negative place, my dates weren't going so well. So then I knew I had to back off dating, kind of give myself a little dating cleanse. You know, take a break from it for a little bit. That's okay. And then when I felt like I was at a better place in my life and more positive and I'd be better company for somebody that's on a date, then I did much better dating. So, you know, but the ladies give, you know, they're relationship coaches and they're giving some great advice.
Can I just wanted to, I love how you said, if I'm going to be better company for someone. And I was just like, right. Because dating really is just picking someone to just spend time and have a conversation with, at least at the beginning anyway. It's definitely that. And seeing if you guys work together. Thank you. That's very clarifying. I love you too, the coach's advice as well.
This one is heading, actually, Rob, I'd like you to answer this one first. With the advent of normalizing more modern marital options, do you feel that they disrespect the union of marriage or females involved?
It can. I don't know. I don't think it's disrespectful. It depends on what you mean. The institution of marriage is kind of an old-fashioned thing, but it's still important for a lot of people just because we want it to be important. So you're talking about extra-y stuff?
Extra-stuff. You're
no.
A smart, so I'm sure you end up chatting about this at some point.
Yeah. Listen, honesty and transparency are way more important than any physical stuff. So if this modern age relationships are making people more honest and more transparent with who they are and want to be, that's going to make for a stronger relationship. And you can quote unquote overcome things like whether it's cheating or, you know, going out with someone else, stuff like that. I mean, my wife got over that a long time ago. And no, our marriage has never been stronger. Our sex life is fantastic. And having kind of an open view of other relationships and I guess sexual stuff is almost pointless to think about, basically. Because I'm not threatened and my wife isn't threatened by anybody because we're so self-assured in our who we are. So, what, you know, who cares?
Richard or John?
Good save, by the way. Good save.
I saw that. Good save, Bob. Good save. So I was just asking.
You know, we're so ingrained as a society now that it's kind of it's taboo for us to do that. I don't know what's going to happen decades from now or not. it may change so that it is more regular. But right now, it's not something I would try. I spent 17 years trying to work on one marriage, let alone with multiple people. My head would probably explode or something like that. It's something I wouldn't even consider at this point.
So, what would you suggest for someone who is older than, like, let's say 20? That's as far as I'm willing to go.
You're older than 20. You're like 21, so you can drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 22. Yeah.
22.
Okay. Somewhere
so
in there.
Yeah.
There you go. But would like to get younger.
Ooh. Oh.
So are you talking about... Can you clarify the question a little
bit? We're talking about your book, Susanna.
You know what my area of research is about, but I read an article on Maxim recently that actually had some data indicating that there are health benefits for men who date younger women. So I'm very curious to know if women who date younger men also receive those same health benefits. Not that that would need to be your sole motive, but hey, if that impacts our longevity, then that's just another reason to consider that.
Valerie, I would love to hear your take on that.
I haven't read the research myself, but I would imagine that if we're looking biologically, you know, we grew up, we evolved in tribes, and we used to be surrounded by 100 people that we were close to of all ages, and I think there's benefit of being with both younger and older people in our lives always. So, I think we all crave to be around both younger and older people, you know, to receive different and give different aspects of ourselves. But are you asking for advice to give to people that want to date younger, or
yes.
What's the question?
Advice for people who want to date younger.
Okay. I mean, look, I don't think that there's anything wrong with wanting to date younger, especially if there is, like, what I encourage people to do is just to be honest and upfront about where you're coming from. So, like, if you're in your 40s, let's say, and you want to date in your 30s and 20s, it's like when you're meeting people, and you're, who knows what you're like, are you just looking to have fun, like I said, or are you looking for a longer term commitment with this person and knowing that it's going to be different than, let's say, the traditional relationship? But I mean, the advice that I give to everyone is really look at what exactly, like, being good company, not focusing on your own flaws, or if you have doubts going on in your head that it's possible, anything's possible, but really focus on what you're there to give to that person, what it is that you're there to provide for that person, and also, like, what it is that you want to receive from that person, and be upfront and be playful about it, and keep it light, and know that anything's possible.
I believe that.
When you have a relationship with somebody, you have to establish certain rules with them. And, you know, and as long as you more or less follow those rules, and, there'll be a certain amount of respect and belief that both of you are believe in that relationship. From my perspective, is, you know, as long as you all agree that this is how our relationship is going to work, then that's what's important.
Okay. Some younger people. Kim or Yolanda?
It's not about you right now. It's about,
Kim or Yolanda?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously all good relationships are about focusing on what it is that you want to give and what it is that you want to receive, and being really clear upfront and collaborative about that. And I think that, and it's all about having the clarity and communicating that and listening to the other person. And I think that would apply no matter what age you are.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So Kim and Yolanda, any comments?
Well, I gotta be honest with you. You like to date younger. I like to date a lot older. You know, geriatrics. No, just kidding. I go to nursing homes, hunt for dates. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? I do have to say, though, when a younger guy asks me out, I feel great. I do. I'm 46, So when a guy in their 20s are asking me out or thinks that I look good, or I'm strutting like, you know, I'm the queen. I think that's great. And you know what? You got to do what makes you feel better. I personally don't like to go out with younger guys. I like to go out with older men. I just have more in common with them. But if that makes you feel comfortable and that's what you like, go for it. Enjoy it.
Kim, I'm going to say you make me feel like a ditz now, babe.
Why? Why?
You're like, I have more in common. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, yes. Does that mean she's mature? Oh, wait, I'm immature. Shoot.
I just date really immature older men. They try to look for their fountain of youth. Don't take that for anything that it's worth. The guy I've been dating is 16 years older, and let me tell you, I have to tell you, he's more immature and has more energy than I do, so God bless.
Awesome. Dr. Arden?
Uh-huh. You know, honestly, it's a case of reversal. You'll find that the more you age, the way it flips. And it works that way for both. When you're, like, both in your teens or millennials, then everybody dates around the same age. And as you begin to age, the people who are interested in you, for whatever reason, tend to flip. So you'll find the older you progress, the younger the people who are interested in you seem to be. And they, you know, they try to find reasons to have things in common with you. And you eventually will find little things that you have in common with them. And then when you're old, you know, and dating older people, it works the exact same way. I remember when I was in my 30s, I dated a man who was twice my age. And then by the time I was in my 40s, nobody around my own age wanted to date me. Everybody was younger who wanted to ask me out. So you'll see a shift in dynamic. It's just the level of interest.
Oh, nice. It's just nice to know that I can still get dates on my 40s if I decide to go that long. No one believes you.
Not even your best friend in the world believes you.
There has been quite a few studies, and I think everyone's probably chatted this topic to death, but let's throw it out here and let you guys jump on it for a little while. The question is, like, since women are becoming more educated and making more money, how do you deal with an unequal money thing? Unequal income. I should have wrote that question down. I was like, no, I'm gonna remember this one. How do you deal with unequal income, especially if the woman is now like the breadwinner?
Oh, girls, go ahead. Any ladies want to field this one? The only thing I could tell you is from experience, and they always tended to end poorly for me, and in my experiences. I'm not saying that it happens in everybody else's. It was always like it broke up. I mean, in a nice way, they all told me that I was a little bit much for them, or you know, that they couldn't give me the life that I wanted, and they didn't want to hold me back. And I totally get it. I totally understand. And we didn't break up on bad terms, and it was quite a few of them. There's about 3 or 4 of them that have relationships like that. I mean, if the other relationship coaches have advice for that, boy, I'll tell you, good luck, because that was a tough one.
Yeah. Kim, quick follow-up question. Which shoe is that?
That was my broken shoe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, the rest of you ladies jump in.
Well, I actually had an experience that kind of illustrates what you're talking about very recently. So I'm in my mid-40s and talking to and flirting with guys in their 30s, generally speaking, and one gentleman asked me out, and we had a first date, and I was very impressed that he bought my drink and got the tickets to the show. But I did discover that he's not a drinker. I love wine. I love whiskey. I'm a little bit more of a drinker. He doesn't enjoy that. And so I felt like I want to pick up my bar tab, because he's been very kind and generous to take care of the entertainment for the evening. I feel like if he's not a drinker, I don't want to make him pay for my, you know, my cocktail. So for me, I just kind of went ahead and I grabbed that. That's what I wanted to do. You know, there's a lot of, I was reading an email asking for advice the other day. There's a lot of points along the spectrum how this plays out, right? Like this one lady was saying, oh, I want this guy to take me to a 5-star restaurant. It's only $150 or $200. Well, I'm thinking, okay, that's
like this guy needs to run for the hills. If that's your idea of a first date, that he needs to spend $200 on dinner with you. It's just something to be negotiated on a case by case basis. And I would just urge people not to make assumptions based on age, not to make assumptions based on what you think the socioeconomics of the situation are. And if all else fails, talk about it. Just bring it up. Say, hey, this is kind of awkward, but I really don't want this to get in the way because I like you. I want to make sure we don't have something stupid get in our way. So can we talk about the money thing?
Wow. It's like, can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Right, right. Like, I know, it's a novel idea. Let's talk about this stuff.
Valerie, how does this play out in marriage relationships?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was just listening to an interview by, and I forgot the guy's name, but he wrote Smart Couples Finish Last. Smart Couples Finish Rich. And it's fascinating because his book is all about, and it's the same methodology that I use, having couples connect with their values. Because money is not money, it's what is the purpose of the money? What is it that you want to use the money for? And if you're just arguing on the surface about you spend this, I spend that, I want this, you know, that's out of your league, whatever it is, you're staying on the surface. But if you go deeper into your values, and values are what makes life meaningful to you, like, do you want to use money to make positive experiences? Do you want to use money for family and to connect more deeply with your family? Do you want to use money for, you know, what, like, values are things like service. Like, do you want to contribute a lot to the world, or do you want to save so that you can have free time to spend with your family? Or do you want to have positive experiences now? And why is that important to you? And so when couples connect on that level, then they stop fighting about the differences between I want this and you want that, and they actually start wanting to support each other with the purpose of the money. And that's what makes them want to work together. And yeah, I mean, if the woman earns more, I've seen that work in couples where the woman earns more and the guy kind of takes on a more traditional householder role where he is doing the cooking and the cleaning and providing for her in that way, and that can work. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I've also seen the opposite happen, where because the woman is making more money and the guy doesn't seem like he's pulling his own weight, then she starts to disrespect him. Or, you know, he feels like he can't provide what she wants and feels inadequate. So if those issues are coming up, I think it is important to address them and talk about them, because, like I said, if you go deeper, if the guy's feeling inadequate, for example, what can he do to still provide things that make her happy? Because it doesn't have to be monetary. You really have to have those deeper discussions to find out, are you looking to provide for her? And if so, how else can you do that? Or, you know, for her, if she is feeling like she is pulling more of the weight, you know, how can you compensate for that? And talk about that on a deeper level, because I find that a lot of couples will just push it under the carpet, or they'll argue about the money itself, but it's not about the money, it's about what the money provides.
Dr. Argent?
Twofold. I actually read an article in Yahoo that states modern couples base their relationships on credit reports. And on the coastline, at least in California, that tends to be true. They it's a full-blown background check. And yeah, if you don't have proper credit, you, especially if you're a woman, guys come near you because they're not putting up with your debt, and it's not keeping them from what they want. But conversely, even in so-called progressive modern day, men still like to pull the weight, and they still like to make more than the woman. And even if she's the one who's going out being the breadwinner, he usually is the one here working from home, you know, the IT guru or whatever they call them. And he still makes more money than she does, even though he never leaves the house. And you see her going into the workplace, they still prefer to make the most money. They, even though they're the ones staying home cleaning and watching the babies, and you see them out with the little strollers, they're kind of cute. They're running around, doing the jogging thing, and they've got the kids, and the wife's off at work, but they still make the most money, and they feel more like men because that to them equates as a provider, even though they still get income to be able to do whatever it is they want to go off and do. But a lot of people here are real big on their credit reports. You know, you got under a 650, you pretty much know you're going to either end up with a very bad relationship or you're not going to end up in one at all.
That's a very interesting concept. So the last,
quickly, okay. Yeah, yes, and I know
the last question.
What advice would you give to any single ladies out there that are like, what? How do I keep a long-term relationship? Because all of you've had one.
I would advise to start with a friendship, you know, go into relationship thinking, I want to be friends with this person and not, I want to jump the gun and be something more than that, you know, just establish, you know, that I like this person and I can connect with this person and just go from there, you know, start with the basics.
Richard?
Sex is not the primary part of a long-term relationship. It is something that is a complement to it. But like John said, you have to establish a friendship first. Because once you establish that friendship and that connection, then and you can feel confident, then the relationship is much smoother. It's constantly a work in progress, but you can tell when the situation requires the work rather than panicking or something like that.
Robert?
Well, the last thing you want to do, especially if you're dating, is try to find the perfect guy, because people change, and for a long time in relationships, nobody is completely honest, and they can't even help themselves because they're people are insecure and are afraid to totally put themselves 100% out there. So if you got to be smart and play a little psychologist and see how the guy treats other people. He treats people in his family, treats his work, stuff that he wouldn't just come out and say. No one's going to come out and say, actually, I'm kind of lazier. Actually, I don't really like my mom. You know, you have to kind of work to look behind the eyes and see what's actually there. And if it all checks out, yeah, be friends. Be great friends, because having a good friend, that's almost as hard as having an actual relationship and marriage. That's kind of what it all comes down to in the end, I guess.
Last question, you guys, is where can everyone find you? Let's start with Kim.
I'm very easy to find. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My book is on Amazon. It's called ShoesAreLikeMen.com. It's a cute little comical book that will entertain you for a couple of hours. Grab a glass of wine, enjoy it. It's very relatable with girlfriends, and have fun reading it.
It's a hilarious book, you guys.
Thanks.
Valerie?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find, too. My website is coachvaleriegreen.com. So that's CoachValerieGreene. There's an E at the end, .com. And I have a few free resources there for people. There's a free video training on my homepage for couples, and then there's a free webinar for women. So I encourage you to check it out.
It's a really good webinar.
It is. Susanna?
So my website is thedatemaven.com. Maven is spelled M-A-V for victory, E-N. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And my book, Revising Mrs. Robinson, which is an exploration of relationships between older women and younger men and the way ageism and sexism influence our views about those, is on Amazon.
It's also a very nice read.
Thank you. I like to say it's a scholarly yet sexy look.
Exactly. Dr. Arjun?
Yes, you can find me over at thewomenssuccessbuilders.com. There are some things on relationships there. And you can find me on, let's see, Twitter at IV Argent. IV as a picture, A-R-E-T. Or you can find me over on Facebook at Iolanda V. Argent. which is, my first name is Iolande.
And she's always, she has so much that she does.
Oh my god.
Yeah, don't Google her. She has a ton. It's pages. But you know, we got your lady
tip. Okay.
All right.
You want, first of all, can we, for the writers here, the ones who have books out, you guys want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Really? Was that shameful? That's ridiculous. But anyway, yes, where can people find you?
Did I throw shame?
You been throwing shade? Oh my goodness, you've been throwing shade the whole time.
Never mind. Go ahead, Jay.
So, yeah, where can people find you guys?
You can find me on johnpopewriting.com. All my books and awards are listed there.
Awesome. You gotta check that out.
All right. Find me on woodenpantspub.com. That is the site for the publishing and the podcasting. You can find me on the Blog Talk Radio Network, Google Play, TuneIn, and iTunes on The Daily Author, The Unfrustrated Entrepreneur, and soon The Wandering Creative Podcasts. And if you have any questions for me, feel free to contact me at woodenpantspub.com. You can also email, personal message me on Facebook at Wooden Pants Pub or Richard Keller.
That is so awesome. You guys check them out. And
I feel bad because
Rob, anything?
You
can find me spinning yarns and rock and touring across the many bars of this great state of Maryland.
You can also find him on Just Right in Life.
Yes, you can. You can find him at Just Right in Life.
Three.
I'm going to totally wrap it up.
Thank you guys, all of our guests, for joining us on the Relationship Roundtable.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Ramona.
And we are from The End. I thought that you should check out our book, our television show, everything on
Amazon.com.
And you guys, just remember that wisdom is all around you. If
you're open to finding it and accepting it.
So peace and love.
Love, you guys, from Ramona with the two broken nails.
And